Welcome to another episode of the Walking Down Sheepfoot Lane podcast. We have got Nathan here today, and we are joined by former Oldham Athletic player Mark Innes. How's it going, Mark?
Good, thanks.
Yeah.
Doing okay, thank you. Nice to meet you both.
Yeah, nice to meet you, mate. Are you keeping well?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Obviously, like same as everybody else, it's been a long 12 months. A lot of ups and downs along the way, but hopefully we're coming out of it now and we can start opening everything back up and get back to normality again, hopefully.
Hopefully soon. That's what we all want. We do. But Mark, we'll go straight in it, Mark. Obviously, you're 42. We have to check that age on you, Mark, because obviously we have to do a lot of background work on you. So, we want to know how you got into football. How did it all start? Obviously, it's a young age, as we know, but do you want to give us a bit of background on that?
Yeah, sure. Growing up, it was just the only thing I ever seemed to do was play football from a very young age. Just on the park for hours and hours in the back garden, practicing, playing with my friends. And then I think the youngest team that you could join was an under-10s when I was growing up. But I managed to get in a team when I was seven, I think. Yeah, I think I was seven. I managed to get in a team at under-10s. So I stayed at that age group for about 3 years, playing against a lot bigger, stronger boys. I think that helped to bring me on a bit, because when I did drop down to my own age group, I seemed to be now doing all right against my own age, if you like. From there, we joined like different boys clubs, very successful ones. Mill United, we won Scottish Cups and leagues, and then St Columbus, we won the league with them as well. Sort of biggest leagues in Scotland, if you like, for the youth football or junior football teams. Also played for the school team, and we won the Scottish Cup with them, the first time since. It was Brian McClure went to our school, and the last time they won it was when he was when he was at that school. So that was good as well. So I had a lot of really good times growing up playing football, and it's just all I ever wanted to do. I just loved playing. When I was at the school, I just looked out the window daydreaming about football all day.
And that's how it all come about then.
Eventually got the chance to sign for Oldham, I snapped it up straight away.
Was Oldham your first professional club, or was there any other ones?
Pardon?
Sorry, was Oldham your first professional club?
I went to quite a few clubs in Scotland, like now, like the sort of S form. I didn't sign S form with anyone because my dad wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me sign with one club when I was 14. He wanted me to wait until I was 15, 16 and decide then where I was going to go. But I was going like to Dundee United and Hearts and Hibs and Motherwell and St Mirren and Partick. I was going to all these clubs and now training with them a couple of times a week or whatever. And a few clubs up there wanted to sign me, but when Oldham came up and I started doing some coaching sessions with them, I just loved it. And they were in the Premier League at the time. I just loved the idea of coming down to England to go to a Premier League club. Well, I don't think it was called it. I was the Premier League, Premier League club.
Was,
and that's why I came down here, yeah.
So was it who brought you to Oldham? Who were the manager, or who were the youth team manager at the time that brought you in?
Yeah, well, we had a scout called John McKenna, and he approached my parents and said, "Oh, we've got Oldham Athletic coach Billy Omson and head of the academy or whatever you want to call it, Jim Castle, who's." Who's coming up, they're going to come up for the next sort of 18 months, every 6 weeks, and we're getting a group of boys together, and they're going to like scout them and coach them and scout them, and at the end of it, Now, they might sign one or two players. So there was players from everywhere, Edinburgh and Glasgow and all over the place. We all came to this AstroTurf tough pitch near Celtic Park. And they came up like sort of every 6 weeks. They started off with maybe 40 kids and it started whittling down every 6 weeks, whittled down. And eventually me and another boy called Alan Clark got offered a contract to come down and sign for Oldham.
Right. And obviously you went straight into the youth team there, and obviously this brings me to when you signed. Was it under Warnock, weren't it, when you made your debut? Is that right?
Yeah, I made my debut under Warnock. But when I first signed, it was Joe Royal. It was the manager at the time. And obviously, I'd watched Oldham in the Premier League and getting to semi-finals and stuff like that, finals. And so I was really excited to come down. But the very first year I got there was the first year they'd just been relegated. Basically, I'd signed for them and I thought I was coming to a Premier League club. It was they'd been relegated that year. So, but because they'd been so successful in the 3 years they'd been in the Premier League, they were attracting a lot of good young players. So when I arrived, there was like 21 like first year apprentices. I don't think I've ever had that many, and never will have that many again. And there was like internationals, there was like England international players and Welsh international players, and the squad was just full of really brilliant, talented players. And when I first came down, I was like, wow, this is a different level to what I was used to.
I bet
everybody
it was.
Just seemed to be bigger, stronger, quicker, and just better, overall better players. So, I mean, when I first came down, it was a big sort of shock to me, like, wow, I need to up my game here. These players are really, really good players.
So
how many of those players did graduate with yourself to first team level?
Well, there's quite a few. There was Andrew Hughes, who's had a great career. Andy Holt had a good career. Scott McNiven, Dave McNiven, Mark Allett. He's had a great career. There was a lot of good players in a squad, and there's been a lot of them that went on to have good careers, really. So we're lucky to play against these players, and obviously the players that we played against as well, and youth team and reserve team were like unbelievable, the level that you were playing against and the stadiums you were playing at, and it was just fantastic to be around, a great place to learn your football.
Definitely. And obviously you mentioned Scott McNiven. I used to like him. I think he ended up going to Oxford, which I was quite a bit thingy at that. I didn't really want him to go, but that's one of the things. I did like Scott McNiven, one of my favourite players actually when I was growing up. I did like him.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, it was Scott got his debut. Sorry, I'll let you go.
No, sorry, go on, man.
I was gonna say Scott, when he first came, he was one of the big sort of names that we'd signed, and him and his brother. And I know he got his debut when he was 16. I think he got in the Scotland under 21 squad. So I think we were expecting big, big things. I mean, he still had a good career in the game, but I think they were expecting him to go now right to the top, but when he was such a young age.
Yeah, I thought, but obviously he went to, I think he dropped down a division to Oxford, if I remember. I think they were a division below, I think they were at the time.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
But Mark, obviously you made your debut. Well, we had to do a bit of info on this because obviously I'm only 30, so I was like 7 at the time, and Brad was a newborn at this time when you made your debut for Oldham, and we had to do a bit of research of our mate Kev, who's obviously he's in his 50s now, and he said that you made your debut against Burnley. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think I was 18 at the time. Neil Warnock was the manager, who'd came in for Graham Sharp, and I don't think I can't remember much. I think we were in doing like shape or something. I get asked to train with the first team, and I think he just told me that morning that you're playing tonight, sort of thing. I think they were just in for an hour, just doing a few set pieces, and I think he just said you're playing tonight, and I was just like, I didn't see it coming at all, to be honest. I know I'd been training with them and stuff like that, so it was a big shock. And but no, it was brilliant. And David Ayres, actually, I think he played that night for Burnley, left wing, and Chris Waddle played as well in the right wing. So they had a couple of good wingers, but Burnley.
Yeah, our mate mentioned that you played Chris Waddle, didn't he, Brad?
Yeah, he said that he was up against Mark and him. What was the feeling? Obviously, it was a bit of a derby. It was in Burnley. 3,500 Oldham fans there, our mate said. He was a bit hostile. How was it for yourself, obviously, making your debut there? You've got an England international in front of you.
Yeah, just really nervous and excited at the same time to make my debut. And the crowd, the noise was brilliant. And obviously when you look across and Chris Waddle, who you've watched play for England and World Cups and things like that, you're up against him. Just like, wow, this is unbelievable. We drew 0-0. So I don't think it was the most exciting game in the world, but I think I held my own and I got through the game without too much bother, thankfully. I think Chris Waddle was getting in his latter years. I think he was maybe 36 or something at the time, so I think that helped me, or I might have been in a bit of trouble.
What was his presence like on the pitch? Did it make you feel nervous to obviously making your debut for Latics and having such a player like that on the pitch? Did it make you think, I've got to up my game? Is that what you thought? Is that what was going through your head? Like, I've got to perform here.
Yeah, I mean, you just all you're thinking about is doing is trying your best, working as hard as you can. I mean, obviously the manager gives you confidence before you go out there. That's why he's picked me and to play in the first team, because he believes in me. He thinks I'm capable of doing it. And so you've just got to sort of have belief in yourself and belief. Yeah. Your teammates and your manager think you're a good enough player to play. And that's what I did. I just tried my best and worked hard and I got through the game and did okay. So, yeah, it's great.
Got us a point against Burnley as well. I'd love to take a point there now. How times have changed, haven't they, Brad? You know, massive have changed, you know. And, you know, to make your debut like that again, obviously, like you said, stars on the pitch. And aforementioned David Ayres, you said, that played for Burnley that night. And I bet, you know, what a legend he turned out to be as well, you know.
It's only because I saw... Yeah, he was fantastic for Oldham, yeah. I played left-back behind David Ayres for a season, and it was good. I just gave him the ball, and that was it, really. Let him do the rest.
Brilliant. We loved him anyway. But obviously, you mentioned Warnock giving your debut. What was he like, Warnock? You know, obviously, we've seen videos of him now, you know, as a manager and what he has been like. But I want your view on him, what he's like as a manager, you know, him personally. Because obviously, played under him.
As you know, he's an unbelievable character. He's done really well. Now, he's had a brilliant career. Obviously, I don't think we saw that coming when he was at Oldham at the time. The career that he's went on to have, but... I mean, I personally liked him because he liked me. Like, you can only treat people how they treat you. And he was really good to me. He looked after me. He gave me a lot of confidence. He believed in me. And if he didn't believe in you, he didn't like you, yeah, you were in big trouble. And he wasn't a nice person to be around if he didn't like you. But with me, he looked after me. He gave me my debut. He played me in a few games here. And before he left at the end of the season... they booked a trip to go to St. Kitts in the West Indies, like Caribbean. And they said that, I think he knew his contract was running up or whatever. And he just said, look, we're going to this trip. He said, I've made sure that you're going on it. And he also said to me, if you're ever not enjoying it at Oldham, give us a call. I'll be happy to take you wherever I am. So that was really nice of him to say that. I mean, a few years later when he was at Sheffield United and I was at Port Vale, I'd love to have phoned him up and say, any chance of bringing me Neil to the Premier League? But yeah, so no, I mean, I got along with him. He was funny. He, some of the things, I used to stand at the side of the training sometimes with sunglasses on, and it was pouring the rain. And he'd shout over Paul Reed, was his favourite. Like, he's, come on, Reedy, come on. You don't have to train in this rain, sun, and all this. And it was just funny, the some of the things he did and some of the things he said. But no, I really liked him. I know a lot of Oldham fans don't seem to like Neil Warnock, but for me personally, he was a great manager.
And he's done well everywhere he's gone, apart from, me and Brad mentioned this earlier, didn't we, Brad? He's done well, Warnock, everywhere he's gone, apart, you know, I don't think he did it much with us, though, did he, obviously?
He's got every club promoted, hasn't he, basically, apart from Oldham, and obviously Middlesbrough, where he's at now. So he just showed, he's just a curse on Oldham. Did he have many outbursts like a change? So obviously we've seen the videos, the one which is phase one with like where at Sheffield United with Chris Morgan proper giving him. Was he like that in the changing room? He just proper said it how he is.
Yeah, I mean sometimes, yeah. He would have a bit of an outburst and he'd be screaming and shouting and pulling people up individually and giving them a good dressing down. When that happened, you just put your head down and sort of kept quiet, and that's what I did.
So I want to ask you something, Mark. Is it a lot of it has been said in the past with Neil Warnock at different clubs, but did he have any pictures up in his dressing room of any football stadiums, i.e. Bramall Lane?
I can't remember that, to be honest. He might have done, but I can't remember it now. I'm not sure.
Because you mentioned, didn't you, Brad, that you've seen that he's had a couple of photos in the dressing rooms, haven't you? Is that right?
Yeah, apparently he's like lucky charm that he takes it everywhere with him. From when he started managing, he took it everywhere. I think it's up in Middlesbrough now, obviously. Bit of a rivalry there, but apparently it goes everywhere within this picture of Bramall Lane.
All right, I didn't know that. I can't remember it anyway. I can't remember seeing it in the dressing room.
Well, if you ask Neil, have you ever come on?
hopefully someone will find out that. But obviously, when starting there 18, there were some characters in the dressing room there. What can you remember of the dressing room there? Because a lot of people remember Dougie Hodgson being there, who's an hard bastard. Was that the case?
Yeah, Dougie Hodgson, he was another character. He never trained. He was always injured or whatever. He was always in the physio room, but he always played. He always seemed to be fit enough for the match, but didn't seem to want to train. And when he did train, he was just like a head case. He'd smash balls over the house. Now, Chapel Road, there's a row of terraces across the road, and he'd just be smashing balls over the houses. And he'd be smashing people two foot and everyone. So I think that's another reason why he didn't train. I think Neil Warnock didn't say, Dougie, you just stay in the physio room. You just stay away from everyone. Because, I mean, one day he two-footed Scott and Niven. I remember that. And Sean McCarthy, basically they started fighting. Dougie Hodgson starts bouncing on his toes, starts doing roundhouses and all that. So I think he was some sort of, professional kickboxer or something. We were like, what's going on here?
So, I bet people were scared of him.
He was a nice guy. He was a really nice guy, friendly guy to speak to. But when his head went, it was just like that was that. He was gone. His head had gone, and we had to get like five or six people to kind of pull him away that day because he was gone. His head had gone.
I mean, have you any other memories of that year, Mark? Obviously, when Dougie Austin were there. Any other characters?
Sean Garnett, that was later then. That was Andy Ritchie, but are you talking about the time with Neil Warnock?
In your Oldham career, really.
Oh, Oldham career, yeah. Sean Garnett, you probably had a few stories about him. He was a pretty funny guy, always up to causing mischief and trouble. And I remember being in the Isle of Man, and we were in this bar, in this pub, and he took Billy Austin's jumper and he threw it in the fire. And so Billy's looking everywhere for his jumper. Does anybody see it? And obviously they're all shuffling and killing themselves laughing and everything. Have a look in the fire, Billy. And he looks over and he's like, oh my God, who's done that? He knew Sean Garrett done it straight away. He knew it was him. And sometimes he went a bit too far because Billy's like, my daughter bought me that for Christmas. It means a lot to me and all this. He's like, oh my God. So yeah, sometimes Sean Garnett took it too far sometimes with some of the things that he did. But no, he was a funny guy, a big character. Lee Duxbury was brilliant captain. He was a good, brilliant to have around the changing rooms, really good with the young lads. We had a lot of good players, but we just always sort of mediocre. I think in that league you need top strikers. If you want to get out of that league, your strikers need to be 20 a season. Every club seems to be pretty similar, but the clubs that have got the top strikers seem to be the ones that can get out of the division.
And obviously, I want to mention about John Sheridan as well, because obviously John Sheridan were there for 98, and I remember we got John from Doncaster, and I remember him coming, and I remember him turning around to Andy Ritchie at the time and saying that I can't play as much because my knees have gone, and he ended up playing for a number of years, and obviously you know yourself, and obviously ended up managing us. What was John Sheridan like? Because obviously he'd had a very good career coming to Oldham, and obviously having someone like that coming in.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant when John Sheridan came in. I think I played in the reserves with him when he first came. His first game he played in the reserves with us against Man City, I think it was. And then he signed on, and apparently he said that he signed on because there was so many good, he played in the reserve team, and he said there were so many good young lads. He thought, oh, this is brilliant sort of thing. And signed on with us, and to watch him in training, you just knew he was a different level. He was so composed on the ball. I used to close people down and panic in the ball and kick it away, but you closed John Sheridan down, and he was just cool as a cucumber. He just sort of turned away from you and changed direction and didn't panic and just picked the right pass at the right time with the right weight of pass. He was just so calm and cool, and he was brilliant for me as well. He was great. He used to always say to me that he was basically trying to get me a move away from Oldham, actually, because he was saying I was too good to be at the club. I know, yeah. So he had all these managers, he told them about me and stuff like that, and he was trying to get me a move because he was saying, you need to move. If you want to progress and keep progressing, you need to be playing with better players. And he tried to get me a few moves, I think. So he was great for me, and I loved playing with him as well. Give him the ball, and you knew he wasn't going to give it away. He was just brilliant to play with.
Yeah, we obviously like him. We obviously liked him a lot, didn't we, Brad? But obviously, when John Sheridan came in, and obviously, like I said, he was only coming in temporary because obviously his injuries and obviously with his knees, but he ended up carrying on, which is good. But obviously, it's good to have someone on the side of you, like you said, Mark, who's got the older head, who could cope to younger lads like yourself, who were there and then, yeah. I bet he was a big influence on you, especially at Latics.
Yeah, I mean, if you know John Sheridan, he doesn't hold back with his tongue. He'd give a lot of lads a lot of dressing downs and call them all sorts of names and stuff like that, which wasn't very nice at times. But afterwards, he'd speak to you and he'd be really nice about things. And that's just the way it was. You just slaughter everyone on the pitch. You just scream at everyone, shout at everyone. But because he wants to win, and he's used to playing with good players as well, so he expects a lot off his teammates, expects them to be as good as him, which wasn't the case most of the time because he was Such a good player, playing for Republic of Ireland, and I remember watching him in cup finals. I think he scored a penalty in the cup final. Win it for Sheffield Wednesday. It was someone like him coming in was brilliant for me. Just to watch him and train and learn off him. Like I say, I got along really well with him, John Sheridan, and can't believe he played for as long as he did with his knees.
No, I can't.
Obviously, the only time you did score for Oldham was on the last game of the season, which we struggled all season against Reading. What do you remember of the goal, and what are your thoughts about that season in general?
Yeah, that season I was sort of in and out the team. I'd have a couple of games here, a couple of games there. I wasn't really getting a run in the team. I was on the bench a lot, getting 10 minutes here and there. And I remember getting in we were really struggling. We're in the bottom three, and Andy Ritchie gave me a bit of a run in the team. I think I played maybe 7 out of the last 8 games, and I think we managed to win 4 and draw 2 and lose 1, something like that. And I had a really good run in the team. I was playing really well. I loved it. It was my first proper run in the team, and it was going well. We're winning games. Obviously, the last game of the season, we had to beat Reading, and Man City had to beat York. So there was a big crowd there, maybe 8,000 or 9,000, I can't remember. Reading wouldn't have brought a lot, but it was just mainly home fans. And before the game, I don't think I slept that night. Very nervous, but within, I can't remember, it was pretty soon on in the game. I remember throwing, coming into the box. It just sort of landed for me on my left foot, and I managed to strike it into the net, which was a brilliant feeling.
Definitely. Obviously, the goal which saved us. What was it like afterwards? Did you have a big celebration after it? Obviously, the relief of staying up.
Yeah. For some reason in my head, I think we went to the Isle of Man. I'm not too sure. I know I went out that night. I went into Oldham, and it was a great night, and we were having a few drinks. But I think we had to meet at 10 o'clock at night, and we were getting a ferry overnight to the Isle of Man or Ireland. It was one of those two places. I can't even remember. But in Oldham that night, I didn't buy many drinks. I didn't have to buy many drinks that night in Oldham. It was a good night.
The delights of Oldham, eh, Brad?
Yeah, definitely. One of the fans who does live on Isle of Man now, Dave, who does listen, he did say mention about the Isle of Man. He said that it was a really good tournament for yourselves. Did you always enjoy going over there?
Yeah, I mean, we enjoyed it when we used to get told we're going to the Isle of Man. Obviously, we're like, oh, the Isle of Man. Like, other teams are going to Marbella and Tenerife and all these hot places, and we're going to the Isle of Man. But we loved it. It was such a great laugh and a great time when we were over there. And obviously, because it was so close, a lot of Oldham fans could get there easy enough. So they sort of made a holiday of it, a lot of Oldham fans. And so you get to meet them, which was good. And I think we won a couple of tournaments as well. Some good teams went over. And it was great. I really enjoyed it, going to the Isle of Man.
Was it obviously the pre-season, after-season tournaments, was it taken serious, or was it just a bit of a piss-up sometimes?
Yeah, we were allowed a couple of nights out now and then. But yeah, it was also pre-season. We had to work hard. So we'd train hard, we'd work hard, and then the matches, we had to take it serious as well. But yeah, we did have a little bit of leeway, which sometimes there was a few curfews that got broken, possibly Sean Garnett again. we had some good times.
I don't think Sean's going to be impressed with you, is he?
Yeah, no.
And obviously, it come to leaving Oldham, Mark. And, how did that all come about? Was you asked to leave? Was you released? Was you Did you want to move? How did it all come about?
Well, I'd had my first full season in the first team at left back for Andy Ritchie, and I had a really good season. It went really well, and I thought, okay, that's me. I'm a left back now. I'm going to play left back, which I'd never played before. It was central midfield, but I really enjoyed it. We had Tony Carr, centre left midfield, David Ayres on the left of me. So with this little triangle going, and I think we worked really well together, and we were playing well and we were doing okay. But then I got an injury at the end of the season, and I came back that year, and I was sort of struggling with my thigh. So I missed the first few games, missed a bit of pre-season. So eventually, when I did come back, we'd already signed Chris Armstrong from Bury. And as you know, Chris is a very good footballer who went on to play in the Prem.
He was a great player, Chris.
Bury, I think it was. And as we know, Chris was a very good left back. He went on to play in the Premier League. And so I found it tough to get back in again. I managed to get back in QPR away. I came on for David Ayres, got injured after 10 minutes. So I came on and I had a really good game. And then I played on the Tuesday, or midweek against Tranmere. I had 1-2-0. I got man of the match. So I was back in the team thinking, oh, that's good. I'm back in it again. And then Andy Ritchie got sacked a couple of days later when we were like fifth in the league or something. So it was a bit of a shock and a surprise. Yeah. So like, okay. Yeah. So then Saturday came. I played the last two games, done really well. And Billy Omson and I think it was John Sheridan that took over for the team for Saturday. And they knew that the new manager would be watching in the stand. And the team went up, and I wasn't even in the squad. And Billy Omson and John Sheridan, two of the people who I said have been brilliant with me and would back me as a player. I'm thinking, what's going on here? I can't believe I'm not even in the squad for this. And the new manager's going to be sat in the stand. And obviously you're thinking, right, he's going to be saying, well, Mark Innes isn't even in the squad, so he's not going to be in my plan. So I was fuming. I couldn't believe I wasn't in the squad at least. So then Mick Wadsworth got the job, and he came in, and he had been given a load of money, and basically most of us knew that we weren't going to be there long. He was bringing in players on a lot of money, giving them high wages, and we sort of knew that we weren't going to get a look in. So I ended up just being in the squad, coming on for 10 minutes here and there. And then he said to me, Chesterfield had came in for me and Mark Allett, and an old player of his at Carlisle, David Reeves. They were going to bring him in to Oldham, and me and Mark go to Chesterfield on loan. So I was like, I'm not sure about this, because I just had a great, I run in the team the season before, full season. I'd loved it. I was getting back in the squad again. I wanted to stay at Oldham. I knew my contract was up at the end of the season, but I didn't want to move. I wanted to stay at Oldham and fight for my place. I just had confidence in myself that I could win him over and I'd get back in his team. But I was sort of kidding myself on, really, because he had his own ideas. He had his own players he wanted to bring in. So that's just the way it is sometimes with managers. So I had to accept, right, I'm not going to play for this guy. So I went to Chesterfield on loan. Yeah, scored two and two. So it went well for me. And then Chesterfield offered me a contract. I still went back to Mick Wadsworth and said, they've offered me a 2-year contract, but I'd still like to stay if I'm in your plans. And he basically just told me to take the contract from Chesterfield. So I did do. but no, he was nice enough. He said, like, oh, you're a great player, blah, 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 but this is the road I'm going down. So I was like, fair enough. My first official game was against Oldham for Chesterfield. We were 2-0 down. And we went on to win the game 4-2, and I got man of the match. So I felt a bit better after that game. I was quite happy, and the lads who weren't involved in the squad were telling me that Mick Wadsworth was in the changing rooms fuming, saying, "I can't believe we've let Mark Allett and Mark Innes go, and they're taking the piss." So yeah, so that was a good feeling.
Obviously, definitely. Not for us, because we're 4-2 down, weren't we, brothers? You
definitely,
know?
Definitely. So obviously, you had Richie. You had a great relationship with Richie. Did you feel like, obviously, even when he got sacked, what were you feeling like he shouldn't have been sacked? And obviously, going to Wadsworth and thinking, well, it's a big change.
Sorry, I missed that last bit. What you said, it was breaking up a bit. Sorry, Bradley.
No, don't worry about it. I said about Richie, we were fifth in the league, going well. Do you believe that he shouldn't have been sacked? And if he wouldn't have been sacked, do you think you would have stayed again? Because obviously the season before, you was ever present in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what would have happened. I knew I played a few games under Andy Ritchie, and obviously I liked him, and I was hoping he was going to stay. Mick Wadsworth comes in, you just think, okay, I need to prove myself again and show this manager that I'm a good player. But it wasn't really like that with him. It wasn't going to wait to see if you were a good player or not. It was a case of, I've got my own players in my head who I'm going to bring, and that's it, sort of thing. So
which is a bit wrong,
a
really.
Because,
which is a bit wrong, because everyone should have a clean sheet, shouldn't they, Mark? New manager, clean sheet for everyone.
Well, that's what you think, yeah. You think, you know, give us all a chance to prove ourselves now, and then you can make your mind up then. But from day one, you just knew that you weren't going to get a look in from the moment he walked in the door. But no, Mick, I mean, I know he let me go, but Mick Wadsworth, yeah, he wasn't. Wasn't my cup of tea anyway. As a character, as a person, very very arrogant man, and no. But yeah,
we've got a few stories I've heard about Wadsworth anyway, haven't we, brothers?
Yeah, definitely. We got told that he likes favourite players. I think probably one of the main ones who Oldham fans didn't like was Danny Boshall. He was like one of the favourites of Mick Wadsworth. He was undroppable.
Yeah, like Danny. I mean, Danny was a good player. He was a good footballer, Danny Boshall. But yeah, he was just a bit, I don't know. It was totally different from any other manager I've ever had. He just sort of, you'd be stood there on training and he'd just walk up to your face and just like stare at you and stuff without even saying anything, just sort of stare in your face. And he'd like, it's like, oh, let me look at your watch, and it's like, oh yeah, if you do as well as me, one day you might have this watch, and he'd show me his Rolex watch and all this. You're like, what? I just don't know. I don't like the guy at all. But you might think I'm saying that because he let me go. But
no. How was it when you scored against us, though, Mark? Obviously, how did you feel like? I didn't really, you know, you've just scored against your form. Well,
he did score. He won against us.
Yeah. No, because obviously, he won against us. Obviously, he was on loan. Obviously, to Chesterfield. How did you feel like, you know, when you went, oh, I don't believe this? You know, how did it make you feel that you've just beaten us? You know, do you feel like two fingers up to the manager of Mick, or was it all about yourself? You know, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, we were losing. I remember we were losing 1-0, and I went over to the corner where the Oldham fans were to take the corner, and obviously I was leaving, and they all sort of clapped me and everything, which was a great feeling, because I never really got, you don't get a chance to say thanks or anything like that, thanks to everybody, because I was there for 7 years, and it was a big part of my life being at Oldham Athletic. It was huge. And then all of a sudden, I'm up in sticks and leaving. It's all I'd ever known for 7 years. So it was hard to leave. So I was getting beat 1-0 in the end. I got a clap, which felt, that was good. That was nice. I thought, oh, that's good. You know, the Oldham fans sort of appreciating that I tried my best when I was there, when I played. But at the end of the game, I don't think they clapped me then when we won 4-2. But no, it was a great feeling. Not that we beat Oldham, but it was more towards, yeah, Mick Wadsworth, yeah, get it up, yeah.
So, yeah. Who were the manager at Chesterfield at the time?
Nicky Law took me there.
Nicky Law. Yeah. Did Roy McFarland, was he your gaffer for a bit, weren't he?
Yeah, he was a gaffer. He was brilliant. Roy McFarland was a brilliant manager. Yeah, I loved playing for Roy McFarland. Yeah, he was really good.
I heard a few stories about him saying he was a bit of an head case, Roy, saying that, you know, he demanded too much. Well, I know you can't demand too much of players, but, you know, I heard that he was a bit of a... I won't say he was nasty, but I heard that he got what he wanted. Is that what sort of man he came across? Or...
I just thought he was a really honest manager. Like, he'd just tell everybody how it was. He'd be honest with you. And that's what I liked. He didn't now go behind your back or do anything sneaky. Now, if he dropped you, he'd tell you why he dropped you. And if he was playing you, he'd tell you why he was playing you. I liked his honesty, and I liked the way he was. He was very like old school, and now quite a hard taskmaster. But I don't know. I liked his style. I liked the way he was, Roy McFarland. And I didn't really see what you're saying about him. What you've heard about him. No, I didn't see that side to him at all.
Right, that's fair enough. I've heard in the past that you were like that, but obviously your opinion on that is obviously, you know, I say that, you know, he's right. But obviously when you was at Chesterfield, what was it like though, as a, you know, when you were there? Because obviously, you know, you went there permanent, obviously leaving Oldham. Obviously you thought you're going to have to kick your career back up again. And, you know, how did you find your time there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it for most of the time when I played, but I got a lot of injuries when I was at Chesterfield. I started to get a lot of problems, calf, hamstrings, knee, everything was just started falling apart. I don't know if it was the travelling from Oldham to training. It was like an hour and a half across the Snake Pass and stuff like that. Yeah. And by the time you got to training, you were like shattered, being on the car journey. And then you do training and then you travel back again. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that helped my legs, all the travelling. So I did eventually move over there, but I think it was too late. I just seemed to get injured a lot when I was there. But I did good players. Nothing was expected much of Chesterfield. It was more a case of staying in the league, League Two, I think it was, League One. We had a good team. I enjoyed it. The Salter Gate was a really sort of small stadium, and when it was full, it was a good atmosphere. I enjoyed my time at Chesterfield.
I do remember one player for Chesterfield that used to score against us quite a lot. And obviously, you'll know of him a lot. He's Glyn Hirst, a big centre-forward. And I thought, hey, up, here he is. He's probably going to score against... I think he did score in that 4-2 win against us, actually, if I'm not wrong. I think he did. Was that right?
Who's that?
When he was on... Glyn Hirst.
Glyn Hirst. Yeah, he scored against us, didn't he? I think he scored a couple of goals that day. Yeah. But no, Glyn Hirst was a good player, a good striker. Scored a lot of goals wherever he went. And I enjoyed playing with Glyn.
Yeah, he was. I knew that day. You just know full well certain players just score against certain clubs, and he sticks out of my mind. And I, you know, it, like, I bring you back onto that day when you was on loan, obviously, at Chesterfield, Martin. You know, it's sad to see that, you know, you were fighting for your place at Oldham and you never got the chance. And what could have been, you know, Mick shouldn't have done that. I think that was out of order for what he did. Obviously, you can't go back in time, but, you know, obviously, you went to Chesterfield and then you went to Port Vale, didn't you? After Chesterfield. That was your last professional club, weren't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my last professional club. I went to Port Vale. I'd actually met the older manager at the moment, Keith Currell. I'd met him in Sheffield. He was the Chester City manager at the time. And I'd met him. He'd offered me a better deal than Port Vale, a longer contract, more money. But Port Vale were in a higher division. And so I decided I wanted to stay in the highest division I could. So I signed for Port Vale. But yeah, it's funny that Keith Currell is the older manager now, yeah. Still managing all these years later.
I know, definitely. Yeah. I think it's a decent plan for us. Obviously, think of your career as in general. Do you have any regrets? And who would you say was the most your best manager you played for?
In my career, best manager. I don't know. It's really hard because I did like all my managers. I like Graeme Sharp. I know, again, Oldham fans don't have a lot of nice things to say about him, but he was great for me. Neil Warnock gave me my debut, so I liked him. Andy Ritchie, played most of my games with him. He was a nice guy. I really liked Roy McFarland at Chesterfield. He was a good manager. I don't know. They've all been, I know who I didn't like. You know that.
That's quite
so,
obvious, Mark.
But yeah, no.
Oh my, no, fair enough. And obviously now, do you keep an eye on our results, Mark? Obviously, now, obviously, you've been out of the professional game for a bit. To keep an eye on the obviously results, I'm obviously Port Vale, Chesterfield, and obviously Oldham Athletic. Still keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I keep an eye on it. Yeah, definitely. Always look out how my former clubs are getting on, especially Oldham, because I spent such a long time there and I live in Oldham. A lot of my friends and my wife's family and stuff are Oldham Athletic supporters. I can't get to the games as much as I like to. Maybe go once or twice a year, and still try and take a game or two in. But no, I look out for them and always want them to do well. I know it's been a tough time the last few years and things aren't going great at the moment. But yeah, hopefully, you just never know what's around the corner, and hopefully something can happen for them and they can start progressing up the leagues again.
Definitely got to agree on that point there. Obviously, when I just look at obviously stuff there, are you still involved in football? Are you still coaching, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing the coaching academy in the local area in Royton and Shaw. So I do a coaching academy for children as young as 2 years old, up to the ages of like 14 years old. And we do different sessions on a Friday and a Saturday, and I've really enjoyed it. I've been doing it for the past 6 years now. It's been going really well. It's been really successful, and I've really enjoyed it.
Definitely. Well, I do have a young son who's turning 2 in September, so definitely we'll be getting involved in that.
Yeah, get him down, get him signed up.
Definitely. But yeah, me and Nathan both really appreciate you coming on there, Mark.
Yeah.
Told some cracking stories.
Some stories that I thought, well, a bit of an eyebrows, especially Neil Warnock, you know what he's like, and the way Mick treated you, Mark. I just can't get over that. Saying that, I can, because I never liked him, so, but I can't expect it. But you don't expect it from a player's view, do you? You don't. I weren't a fan of his, if I'm honest, Mick. Yeah. Mark, I wasn't. I was not a fan. And obviously, you know, I was glad when he gone, and obviously Dowie coming. Best thing we ever did that.
Yeah, no, Ian Dowie, yeah, he was the assistant at the time when Mick was there. And yeah, I did like Ian Dowie. There's a lot to like about him. He was good with people. The way he spoke to people and stuff, he was good.
Brilliant. Well, I appreciate your time for coming on, Mark, and good luck in what you're doing, and keep safe, and hopefully we're back to normal very shortly.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, pal.